At Daleville Christian Church, we encourage you to know what it is that you believe so you can live what it is that you believe. So each time we gather, we have an affirmation of our faith taken from God's Word, and today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. God's word today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in the city of Rome, commonly referred to as Romans, in the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11, where he wrote, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Valentine's Day is Tuesday, February 14th. Flowers, candy, red hearts, romance. That's what Valentine's Day is all about, right? Well, maybe not. How about persecution, faith, martyrdom, blood, and death? That list would be closer to the roots of Valentine's Day. Many people might not know that, because our culture is already fooling us about the origins of Valentine's Day by dropping the word saint out of the title. Saint Valentine's Day. Tuesday, the 14th of February. Saint Valentine's Day. A day to honor and remember a genuine Christian holy man of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's been easy to drop St. Valentine from the name of the holiday. St. Valentine's Day was intended to recognize a Christian saint, a genuine bona fide follower of Jesus, who died because he would not renounce his faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But even we Christians can't be sure which Valentine it was. The saint we think we want to celebrate on Valentine's Day was known officially as Saint Valentine of Rome, in order to differentiate him from the dozen other saints named Valentine, who were also sainted followers of Jesus. You see, the Roman name, Valentinus or Valentinus, was a very popular name, and it remained popular for 600 years. There was even a woman martyr named Valentina. Both names are from the Latin word meaning worthy or strong or powerful. The top two possibilities for Saint Valentine, February 14th, were men who died in the persecutions of Christians by the Roman Emperor Claudius II. However, other Roman emperors' persecutions are remembered far more than the persecutions of Christians by Emperor Claudius II. Before the year 200 AD, before 150 years of church history, there were several persecuting emperors. Then a sort of peace for 50 years. Then Emperor Decius was known as the leader of the first empire-wide persecution. Then Emperor Valerian blamed Christians for the Roman Empire's woes. And finally, the Emperor Diocletian, who was a gifted organizer and who was able to lead a persecution so widespread that it became known as the Great Persecution. The purpose of that persecution was to extinguish Christianity altogether. It is the persecution of this Emperor Diocletian and his great persecution that Saint Nicholas survived. Saint Nicholas, who is remembered in part in the person of Santa Claus every Christmas. And Saint Nicholas survived that great persecution to help lead the church in its formal first meetings for the whole Roman Empire to establish the true teachings of the church once the new emperor Constantine had been converted to the Christian faith. Valentine, Saint Valentine, did not survive these earlier persecutions. And the one we call Saint Valentine was not the only Saint Valentine to die during official Roman persecutions of the Christian faith churches. That is why it is all somewhat vague and confusing. In addition, there are even other days you could celebrate a different Saint Valentine who died for his faith in Jesus, or her faith in Jesus, Valentina. How about January 7th, or November 3rd, or July 25th, when Valentina lost her life for her faith? And there are two other days in July you could celebrate a Valentine's Day, a Saint Valentine's Day. Although it is uncertain as to which Valentine we need to honor and remember, all these facts agree. Valentine, or Valentina, all the Valentines were faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and they were so faithful that death itself did not keep them from professing their faith in the Lord who loved them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the saints died for their faith, and many different methods of death have been mentioned to bring down the saints of the church. Now, how Valentine's name was associated with love is also unclear, but we do know from the Bible how any saint's name would be associated with love. Valentine or Valentina, as followers of Jesus, knew the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the saints also probably knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. They also might, these saints, have been able to quote the letter of 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, where it says, "The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And we know this faith those saints would not forsake. This love that they knew through Jesus Christ, they could not deny and would not deny, and they did die because they would not renounce or draw back from proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Savior to the glory of God the Father. This great love that God has for us is, for the Apostle Paul demonstrated by Jesus, as we read in our Bible reading God's Word for today, "At the right time, When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I share a story with you from John Ortberg's book, Love Beyond Reason. John Ortberg is a pastor and an author, and he writes about his father-in-law, Al. Al was an uncomplicated man, easy to like. He was a natural athlete and an avid outdoorsman who loved to hunt and fish. When we had a daughter, his first grandchild, we didn't realize how excited Al was about the prospect of taking her to the great outdoors with him. Until one day we were driving home from their house, where Laura had been secretly coached by Al for some time. She was a year old, and we were putting her through one of those routines that all first grandchildren and first children have to endure, asking her, "Laura, what sound does a kitty make?" Laura said, "Meow." "And what sound does a doggy make?" "Woof, woof." "And what sound does a duck make?" "Bang." Her grandfather was an avid hunter. Ortberg goes on to write that Al's other loves ran toward the bottle. He was an alcoholic, as were his father, his uncle, and his brother. Not the sloppy kind. He didn't miss work or throw away money, but it did make him hard to get to know. Nancy, John's wife and Al's daughter, always knew her dad loved her, but it was in his own way, a ragged way. He never said it outright. Sometimes if she told him she loved him over the phone, he might say, "Me too, punk." But he never volunteered that phrase of loving his daughter. One fall, Al's skin turned yellow, and the doctors told him they wanted to test him for pancreatic cancer, which at the time was almost always terminal, and quickly terminal. We were waiting at his house for him to come home with the test results. "Got it," were his first words when he came in the door. He didn't say much more about it. Sometimes we would see him staring out the window, but it was hard to know what he was thinking. He had never been very concerned about God, one way or the other. He wasn't particularly hostile, just casually disinterested. We tried to talk with him, but didn't get far. And of course, Mr. Ortberg, pastor, would be a natural person to talk to about God. Ortberg goes on to say, until one day when my mother was visiting, she talked to Al about how they shared the same grandchildren, about how life was unpredictable. Maybe she would go first, but if Al should die and the grandkids should ask someday about him and God, what should she tell them? How did it stand between Al and God? "Fine," he said. "Everything's fine with God and me. Why shouldn't it be?" She pressed further and explained about how, as we read in the Bible verse for today, how God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. She quoted Romans 5. Ortberg says the light dawned and the ice melted, and Al prayed and gave his life to Jesus. And Ortberg goes on to say, and God began some reconstructive surgery. Al and I began to read together from the Gospel of John. He would study some on his own, then we'd talk about it and generally pray after. Once or twice, we even prayed holding hands. One day, when the cancer was quite advanced, Al was lying in our bed, too weak and emaciated to sit up, and we'd finished talking about Jesus. "Now let's pray," Al said, which was striking because he hadn't often initiated prayer before. "Okay. And let's do that hand thing," Al said. He reached over and grabbed my hand. And it struck me that the hand that had spent a lifetime throwing footballs and swinging golf clubs and casting and shooting and lifting countless cans of beer was more wonderful in weakness than it had ever been in its strength. Not long after that, Al went to the hospital. On a Friday night, he called for Nancy. They talked for a while, then before Nancy hung up the phone, I heard her say one of the few phrases that I will remember as long as I live. "I love you too, Dad," she said. I asked her if that meant what I thought it did. Yes, her dad said he loved her. That was on a Friday night. The next morning, Al suffered a stroke, which is not uncommon given his condition and treatment, and for 6 weeks he was virtually unable to speak or control his bodily functions. And then he died. The last time Nancy heard her dad speak was the first time he said, "I love you." There's a kind of love that seeks value in that which is loved. There's a kind of love that is attracted to status and wealth and beauty, and we understand that love. We see it every day. And then there is God's love that does not wait for us to be lovable. God's love does not wait for us to be lovable. God already loved us while we were yet sinners. We are not working for heaven. There's an old story of a new brother coming to the monastery. He's shown his room, but when he enters the room, he discovers one of the sisters on the floor scrubbing it by hand in preparation for his arrival. When the brother steps in, he quickly asks, "What's going on here?" And the sister from the convent states, "Heaven doesn't come cheap, you know." That is many people's interpretation of getting into heaven. We even use the wrong words to talk about heaven. You don't get to go to heaven. You are going to heaven unless you've decided you don't want to go. If you've accepted what Jesus has already done for you, you are going to heaven. It was the plan from the very beginning that you go to heaven. Jesus came, suffered, and died so that you and I could go to heaven. His obedient death was a sacrifice for us, so nothing is in the way of our life with the Heavenly Father. There isn't anything for you to do to go to heaven. None of us even knows the way to heaven. How could we possibly get ourselves there? We can't. Jesus knows the way to heaven, and if we follow Jesus, Jesus will lead us into heaven. The sister who was scrubbing the floor of the monastery room was correct. Heaven isn't cheap, but she, the sister, and all her scrubbing have nothing to do with going to heaven. Sister was correct. Heaven isn't cheap for Jesus. For Jesus, our trip to heaven is expensive. It cost Jesus his life. Jesus paid with his life so you and I and the sister can go to heaven. All we have to do is accept Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. If you have accepted Jesus' sacrifice for you, scrubbing floors doesn't have anything to do with going to heaven. There is one exception to that. If you're convinced those floors belong to Jesus, you will probably want to scrub them. But you were going to heaven even before you got the bucket and brush out of the cabinet. Going to heaven is what Jesus leads us to do. Scrubbing floors is what we do because we love Jesus and we love the neighbor that Jesus loves and the neighbor Jesus died for. This is the love that Jesus has for us. This is the love that Valentine knew in his lifetime. This is the love that Valentine could not give up. This is the love that God has that Valentine knew and could not deny. This is the love that Valentine knew that God has for us, that Valentine knew and would not deny even when Valentine was threatened with death. This has been true since Jesus died for us over 2,000 years ago, and yet we still have a little trouble accepting that truth for ourselves. And if you think we have trouble accepting this truth for ourselves, we really have trouble accepting this truth for other people, especially people we don't like, or we are convinced they don't like us. Now, how St. Valentine gets mixed up with chocolate and flowers and hearts and Cupid is not clear. Cupid, after all, was a Roman god, not a follower of Jesus. Chocolate, as we know it, would not be invented or eaten until the 1800s, and even what we call romantic poems and songs wouldn't get started for over 1,000 years after Valentine was killed. A woman recently wrote to the Dear Abby column about Valentine's Day, and she knew that Valentine was a saint. And Valentine wasn't the one whose love we celebrate on Valentine's Day. The woman who wrote the letter knew better, that Valentine's Day wasn't about celebrating any love that Valentine had. We were celebrating a love that God has. She wrote that she never received a romantic Valentine and said that's okay with her. She suggested that all of us, especially people who are single or alone, take a page out of Valentine's book, which she has done every year for Valentine's Day. She buys a box of Kitty Valentines and hands them out to everyone she sees that day. She says it has always made Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day, a happy day. John Ortberg's father-in-law was like so many people. Their lives were not lived for Jesus. Again, this is part of the miracle of our awesome God's love and generosity. Some people have lived their lives through the love of Jesus, but that has not determined who's going to heaven. Jesus told a story of workers in the field. A common practice of the day was to hire day laborers, and if needed, hire them any time of the day. If you don't have enough workers, especially at harvest, hire them later in the day. Go back, get some more at noon. Go back, get some more at 3. And this is Jesus' story. And as Jesus tells the story, when the workday was over, it was time for the payout. And the owner of the vineyard, in Jesus' story, says that the owner is paying everyone the same amount, no matter how long you were in the field. Some called it unfair. The owner in Jesus' story referred to himself as generous. Is God unfair? What I know is that God is generous. God is a big spender. God is extravagant. God is not keeping an eye on the bottom line like you and I do. Our God is not very efficient. Why? Because our God is loving. Many do not know who St. Valentine is. But Jesus knew St. Valentine. And Jesus, St. Valentine, believed in. God's love through Jesus, Valentine knew. And Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, St. Valentine proclaimed until the moment he was executed. This is a love that Valentine lived for. This was a love that Valentine felt he had to die for. Valentine knew that the emperor could kill his body, but Valentine knew that the Lord loved Valentine's soul and believed Jesus when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asks. This is the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I suggest, for this Saint Valentine's Day, you get some chocolate anyway. But also remember the Jesus that Saint Valentine proclaimed till death. Amen.